The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Good, thanks. And you, Howard?
I am very, very good, thank you. It is International Happiness Day. You know what? I was feeling miserable. We've just had a happiness coach, Shireen Richter, was in a studio, and I'm actually feeling a bit happier.
Fantastic. Did you do some laughter therapy?
We didn't do laughter therapy, but I just read the story about a bus and the United States, and it makes me laugh. Tell us about it.
Woof, I tell you, if there's foibles forming between the U.S. administration and PA President Mahmoud Abbas, it is now. Apparently, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas called the U.S. ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, a son of a dog. This was yesterday, and he went on to say that he's a settler, he's a son of a dog. He says, the settlement building is legitimate. That's what several American officials have said, including first and foremost the ambassador in Tel Aviv, David Friedman. He said, settlers are building on their land, son of a dog. He is a settler and his family members are settlers, which is quite interesting because the ambassador and his family actually live in the official residence in Herzliya. I mean, this is just compounded, Howard, by the fact that Saeb Erekat told the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations a couple of weeks ago, Nikki Haley, to shut up. So this mudslinging, this war of words, seems to be taking place between the Palestinian Authority and the Trump administration. And even President or Prime Minister Netanyahu issued a statement. He said that for the first time in decades, the American administration has stopped pampering Palestinian leaders. And apparently the shock from the truth is causing them to lose their tempers. And if that's not enough, Jason Greenblatt, who is the special envoy to the Middle East, also says that, you know, while the White House does remain committed to the Palestinian people and the Trump peace plan will be revealed in due course, he says that, you know, it's really time for President Abbas to choose between hateful rhetoric and concrete and practical efforts to improve the quality of life of his people and lead them to peace and prosperity. But it looks like Prime Minister Abbas's temper tantrums and foibles are creating a situation where they are becoming more and more isolated.
But what's interesting here is they've clearly been able to get away with just about anything. And very, very slowly, or maybe not so slowly, the U.S. administration is starting to discipline them. You can't call another diplomat a son of a dog. You just can't do it. But I suspect that in the past they could say pretty much whatever they wanted to, and everybody just ignored it. We know that. We know that Iran has been chanting the most terrible things prior to this administration about America and about Israel, and the Obama administration basically completely ignored it and suggested that it was all figurative. Now it's not being viewed that way.
Well, this is it. And, you know, in Arabic, which is what the language he made these comments, he didn't say son of a dog. He said son of a female dog. But because we are family-friendly radio, I won't say that. But it pushed Ambassador Friedman insofar to call Mahmoud Abbas an anti-Semite, because Friedman is Jewish and he was addressing the conference on anti-Semitism that is taking place in Jerusalem this week. And he said this kind of language, these kind of accusations, it's tantamount to anti-Semitism.
Absolutely unbelievable, but incredible that this is finally happening. Just tell us a little bit more about this anti-Semitism conference and symposium. I saw Maya Bialik was there.
Well, it is a conference held, I think, every 3 years. I was privileged to be at the last one. It is a conference that brings advocates for Israel, people who are dedicated to the fight of anti-Semitism, academics and leaders and personalities from all around the world together. The last time I was there, that wasn't Roseanne Bosch. She was at the BDS conference. Oh, how would I go to so many conferences? But Mayim Bialik, who was Blossom, who is a very, very vocal Zionist, an observant Orthodox Jew, a feminist, and somebody who's very involved with Zionist feminist rights, was the keynote speaker at the conference. And it's really an incredible opportunity for activists and academics and and organizations, NGOs, to get together and kind of brainstorm ideas how we can fight anti-Semitism around the world. You know, when I was there several years ago, the discussion centered around BDS and also growing anti-Semitism in Europe. This time, a lot of the conversation is around social media and how anti-Semitism is manifesting itself on social media. I know we had a discussion yesterday, you spoke to Luba about hatred and racism on social media, and you asked people to be a lot more responsible with their words, which I fully agree with you, and also ask people to please be on the lookout for incidents of anti-Semitism.
Absolutely, absolutely right. France is launching an investigation into the Gaza smuggling. We brought you that story yesterday. That is that was a member, an employee of the French consulate, was caught with more than 70 weapons that he was smuggling to the Palestinians. What's the latest on that?
Well, the latest is that the foreign minister, his name is Jean-Yves Le Drian, I think I just like saying that in French, is on his way to Israel. He will visit Israel within the next weeks, and he's called for the investigation, and he says that the chief inspector in the foreign ministry in Paris has been appointed to lead the investigation. So what we do know is that yesterday an indictment filed in Beersheba District Court, Roman Frank, who's a 24-year-old driver for the consulate, was indicted for on these smuggling charges. He took advantage of very, very lax security checks on his vehicle that he was driving because he has diplomatic immunity and also because it's a diplomatic vehicle. So he was smuggling weapons from Gaza to the West Bank. But we don't know as of yet if this has caused any kind of diplomatic brouhaha between Israel and France. But we do know that the French foreign ministry is in contact with Frank's family and with the Israeli authorities, and takes this the allegations of arms trafficking very, very, very seriously. And we also know that in addition to Frank, five residents of the West Bank and East Jerusalem have also been charged, and a total of nine suspects have been arrested. And this was only really cleared for publication yesterday, but this started in September 2017. And not only have we caught this diplomatic a staff member at the consulate, but we've also managed to bust a gun smuggling ring.
Unbelievable. And certainly it does seem that France is taking it seriously. They have launched an investigation, and hopefully they will eradicate this type of behavior. Poland cancels a Holocaust ceremony over Israeli mayor speech. Whew, this is a story that won't go away.
This story is not going to go away. You know, one of the issues, apart from the obvious that it's, you know, the trauma, the emotional pain that this new legislation is causing, is also the clamping down on academic studies of the Holocaust. And a delegation of Israeli students was scheduled to hold a ceremony with Polish students from a sister city of Radomsko near Lodz. If you remember, there was a ghetto in the city of Lodz, and the mayor of Kiryat Bialik, which is the city, the sister city of Radomsko, had a speech where he made certain references to Polish collusion during the Shoah, and he was told by the Polish authorities that he needs to change it, or he needs to censor it, and he needs to change that it involved Ukrainians and German Nazis instead of Nazis. And he refused because it's not historically accurate. And because of this, the ceremony has been cancelled, and it's really heartbreaking because it's not only perpetuating a lie or an untruth, but it's also breaking down the opportunity for Israeli youth and Polish youth to engage in some kind of discussion or and meaningful discourse. And it's very, very worrying. And I see more and more the debates coming out about whether or not we actually should be going to Poland. Should our what we cynically call our grief tourism contribute to the Polish economy? However, Poland is a cemetery for many of us and our families, and it's a very, very, very difficult discussion to have.
Indeed it is, and it's one that I believe is going to continue for some time. Abbas accuses Hamas of an attempted assassination of Hamdallah. Tell us about the story.
Well, how would you and I discuss that this story barely registered a blip on the horizon of international news?
Because Israel wasn't involved at all.
Because Israel wasn't involved, and of course it registers like a soap opera. So now we have the Palestinian Authority accusing Hamas, and Hamas actually insinuating that maybe it was the Palestinian Authority that tried to blow up their own prime minister. I mean, naturally, of course, they blamed Israel, but only very, very briefly. But it is now becoming not just a war of words between the Palestinian Authority and the U.S., it's now becoming a war of words between the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. And Hamas actually said on their official Twitter account, I mean, it boggles the mind how they are allowed a Twitter account, they condemn the Palestinian president's irresponsible statement, saying they constitute a violation of reconciliation agreements. Meanwhile, they are insinuating that it could be the Palestinian Authority. So this one, I tell you, major soap operas have nothing on this.
It's absolutely incredible. Is there any sense that these guys will ever get it together for the good of the people?
I don't think so. You know, Abbas's parting gift on this situation was, we don't want any information from them. We don't want anything from them. And Abbas says that he is taking national legal and financial measures in response to what he sees as the rejection of Hamas and its illegitimate authority. So if they're not going to recognize each other, which is actually, you know, quite interesting,
laughable, yeah.
I don't think that we will see any type of reconciliation or national unity government with the Palestinians. And for those of for those out there listening who say, you know, it's Israel and Israel should come to the negotiating table and Israel bears the responsibility of stalled peace talks, no name mentioned Foreign Minister of South Africa, you need to also take into account, how do we negotiate with any kind of meaningful peace partner when they are fighting between themselves as to who represents the Palestinian people?
And, of course, the fact that they have denied their people the most basic of human rights for so long and don't seem particularly interested in reintroducing any of those rights should be the biggest concern at all. Rolly Marks, that's where we leave it. That was the Israel Report. We'll chat to you same time, same place tomorrow. I hope you have a fantastic evening. We'll catch up with you then.